That's okay. Please rise as we sing our first of two songs. This is called Let Us Rise.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
Top.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
Amen, amen. Yes, we can clap. Yes. Yeah, who knows? We might become Presbycostals. Woo! Somebody get me my pills. This next time, I tell you, both these songs we do for Kairos. And you can see, you get a room full of men singing this place, and it is awesome. And they really get into the music. Even people, even the Hispanics that don't know the words, will sing. So this next one's Blessed Be Your Name. You've probably heard it. It's Matt Redman. But it's really powerful song. Just in the words talking about everything we do, blessed be the name of our Lord. So
let's go. It's a blessing to be with you here today. Just a couple of quick announcements to make before we get started. We first of all want to extend a gracious welcome to all our visitors today. Welcome. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope to see you again. If you have any information or questions about the church, please feel free to grab one of the ushers or myself. There is no Bible study tonight. I understand there may be a little game on. Just maybe that's what I've heard. But we will be back next Sunday at 6 o'clock, so please join us. This is the week for the Presbyterian Women's Circles on Tuesday at 10:30 and at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And also this Thursday, February 13th, is a community meal from 5 to 6:30. So we look forward to seeing you all for that. This has been a week of sickness in my family. We've all kind of struggled through the flu. So I've asked Clayton McDaniel to do the sermon today. So we're looking forward to hearing Clayton preach the good word of the gospel. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought? Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. We've got the prayer room open again today. Steve Self has graciously agreed to man it. So if you have a prayer request after church service, if you'll find your way behind the choir loft to the library, Steve will be with there to pray with you. We also have a session meeting today. So for the members of the session, don't forget that. Any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? What? We're passing the peace. Yeah, we bring back a glorious tradition today. So we are going to pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I invite you to spend some time getting to know your neighbors and to pass the peace of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Testing one, two. Testing one, two.
Up on the bar.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Give you a hug.
No, I'm sweaty.
I can see.
Ugh.
Don't pass out.
I'm not.
Don't be like Charles.
I'm going to, yeah. Yeah, now you can kind of come up and I'll cue you in. How have you been? Yeah, things are good. We'll let people kind of mingle for a minute or two. I don't know. 3 to 4 minutes. All right.
Equipment, so I just want to make sure that I was going to move it during the children's moment.
Yeah, do that. All right, let's bring them back. Please remain standing as we begin with our call to worship. Find your way back.
Come, let us worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
We come with joy and gratitude, ready to praise our God.
The Lord invites us to draw near with honest hearts.
We approach with reverence and thanksgiving.
Let us lift our voices in praise to the Most High.
We praise the Lord our God who reigns in majesty. Thank you. Let us continue in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of life. The one who sent your Son so that we might be born anew. As we gather in your presence today, we marvel at the depth of your love, a love that reaches into our brokenness and calls us into the light of your grace. Open our hearts to your Spirit as we hear your word. Stir within us a desire to know you more deeply and to walk in the truth of your salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May this time of worship remind us that in Christ we are made new. And may our lives reflect your glory. Be with us now, Lord, as we seek to honor you with our praises and draw closer to the heart of your eternal love. In the name of Jesus, who gave himself for us, we pray. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, God, who is merciful and just, will forgive us of our sins and forgive us of any and all unrighteousness. So it's with that bold declaration of our sinfulness that we confront God with the truth of ourselves, expecting to encounter not his condemnation, but instead be witnesses and recipients of his manifold and amazing grace. So join us as we pray our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray together, leaving a few moments for silent confession of our hearts at the end. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us and renew us and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this amazing and wonderful truth. This is the truth that John 3:16 captures and guards and distills for us in a blessed moment. Friends, the good news is that even though we're sinners, God has chosen to love us in our transgressions. He's chosen to provide a pathway out of them through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the atoning life, death, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because of his merciful sacrifice and his willingness to accept the penalty of sin on the cross, we rest with the confidence that our sin is forgiven. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now, with the assurance of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us sing what it is we believe.
In the cruise.
be seated. And at this time, we'd like to invite any of the kids to come forward for a time that's just for them.
Hello? Testing. Hello? Can you hear me? Ah, there we go. Come on, Deck. Good morning. Y'all sit right here for me? Hi. Hey, JoJo. Hey, Oakley. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're going to sit with me? Okay. Hi, Declan. Hi, friends. How are you this morning? Can you sit? Okay. I'm going to sit like this, okay? All right. So, I've got some things in my bag here. I'm very excited about it. All right. Do you know what is at the end of this week? What holiday? Is it Valentine's Day coming up? Yeah? All right. And your birthday? Oh, okay. Is JoJo's birthday this week? Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. Oh, gosh. So many birthdays. I love it. Oh, it is you? Oh, my goodness. You got a lot of birthdays in your family. Just one. Okay. So, Valentine's Day is this week, and today, Jason was going to talk about So Loved. I'm not sure if Clayton is also talking about that, so my children's time may not make any sense. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." It's one of the most well-known verses. It says that God loved the world so much. I was thinking about that verse and wondering, how much do you think God loves us? Do you think he loves us this much? Oakley, does God love us this much? Go this much? No? What about this much? No? Can you even measure it? Can you measure how much God loves you? So, I brought some tools here to help us measure, okay? So, if we're baking cookies, which one of these, let's see here, we have a watch, a tape measure, and measuring cups. I went blank. Measuring cups. Which one of these do we use when we're baking cookies? That one? That's right. We use measuring cups. So, I was thinking, do you think we can measure God's love with a measuring cup?
No.
No? All right. So, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My cup runneth over." So if it runs over with God's love, then we can't use it to measure it, right? All right, so if we're building something, we've got our hammers and our nails. If we want to measure the piece of wood, which one of these do we use? The watch or the tape measure?
This
one. Good job. I don't know how you know that. All right, so do you think we can measure God's love with this? What do y'all think? Do you think we can measure God's love with this? No, that's right. So, in Psalm 108, it says, "God's love reaches higher than the heavens." Do you think this will reach all the way to the heavens?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. All right, what's left? We got this one. Do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? Is this a watch? Do you think God's love can be measured with this watch?
No.
There's probably people in here that are using their watch to measure how long this children's time is. But I don't think that it can measure how much God loves us. The Bible says God's love is everlasting to everlasting. It cannot be measured with a watch. But you know what? I figured out God's love can't be measured, and that's okay. It's so big that we don't need to measure it. We get to experience it every day. Okay, can we pray? My prayer for you guys is that you get to experience how wide, how deep, and how long God's love is for you. Okay? Will you pray with me?
Let's pray.
Say, "Dear God, thank you for your love that cannot be measured. We love you. Amen." All right, you want to put your money in? They've been excited about this money the whole time. Here you go. Put your change in there.
Put your quarter in there.
You can't keep it. Good job.
What a blessing. Amen. The song we're doing today is a song that we probably need to do every day of our lives. It's Matt Maurer, great Christian composer and writer, and it basically says, Lord, I need you. And that should be our prayer in every thought of our day, because without God, nothing is possible. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my
need you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak afresh to us, gather within us, in our hearts, preparing us to hear what it is you would have us hear and receive what you would have us receive. In all things, allow us to hear the truth of your word, to be inspired to follow you in all that we do and say. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 24. So listen to this Psalm of David. Follow along with me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The God Almighty. He is the King of glory.
Good morning again. What a blessing it is to be here, to be in the house of God. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about dangerous grace. Think about things in your life that are dangerous. How many of you have ever done something that you think is dangerous? All right, good. We got a lot of hands there. Yeah. Skydiving? Yeah. Bungee jumping? You know, we kind of have these pictures in our mind. But there are also some things that are also dangerous. Anybody tell me what the number one fear in America is right now? Speaking in public. But it used to be flying. But think about it. Why would you be scared of flying? I mean, after all, you're getting into an enclosed hollow tube for hours and hours. Yeah, no problem. But a lot of people, though, don't have a fear of driving. And this is a statistical fact. To equal the same amount of people that are killed in cars every year, if you flew, you would have to have a Boeing 747 full crash 365 days a year to equal the amount of people killed in cars. But yet nobody's afraid of driving. If you ask somebody, hey man, are you afraid to drive? No man, why not? Because I'm in control. That's what makes it so dangerous, right? We are in control. Being a Christian is about danger. We face danger every day. We may not face physical dangers, but we're in a spiritual battle. And in the big picture of our faith and who we are, that's harder. Physical things you can overcome. Sometimes the mental and emotional, and particularly the spiritual battles, you can't. And we cannot do it on our own. Amen. The passage I've chose today is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, but I've never heard anybody preach on it. It is the healing of a demoniac in the Gospel of Mark. This is in Mark chapter 5, and this is what it says. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out, and he cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you will not torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside nearby. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and in the countryside, and then the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and he told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the power of your word and the truth of your word. We pray, Father God, that when you are with us, which you are now, Lord, that your spirit would move, that we would not just understand your word, but we would embrace it. We would take it home and say, "Lord, what are you telling me today? What do I need to take in my life? The demons that are in my life. Help me, Lord. Help all of us here in this holy place to see you in a new and clear way, to experience your presence with joy. So bless this time in your name. Amen." This is the most demon-possessed man that God and Jesus comes to in the Bible. Legion, we are many. When you think legion, you think the French Foreign Legion. A legion is 80 men, so it's a lot of people. So he was so strong, he could not be chained. He broke the chains. Now, I've always wondered about this. Think about this. This is a great picture. He's on kind of an island almost, if you will. He's on the shore. He's living in a graveyard. He's in tombs. So imagine Jesus and his disciples are on the boat. So say, you know what? You got a job herding pigs. This is going to be good. Great job. Dental plan. I'm set. I'm going to be here, and you're up on the hillside. You're tending the pigs, and all of a sudden you see Jesus in the boat. You're like, wait a minute. That's a boatload of guys. Oh, that's Jesus. I've heard about this Jesus guy. What are they doing? No, they're not going over there. No, don't do that. Oh my gosh, they've landed. Here comes this guy. He's yelling, he's screaming, he's foaming at his mouth. He's going nuts. He's pointing up here. They're all pointing up here. Next thing you know, the pigs get this big glassy look. And he's trying, and there go the pigs over the cliff. Beloved, we're talking about unprecedented quantities of deviled ham airborne. So they die. Now, Bible scholars tell us that this, with 2,000 pigs, was probably not owned by one person. It was probably a co-opt herd. So this affected a lot of people. So all of a sudden, they see what happens and they run and tell everybody, probably the people that own these pigs. So what do? They're coming and they're seeing what had happened. So you're the pig guy. You're over here going, oh my gosh, what do? Well, you're going to run back to your boss and you're going to tell him what happened. So you walk in and there's your boss sitting there going, what are you doing here? I thought you were watching the pigs. Yeah, I was. What happened? Oh, the pigs, they're all dead. You think he's going to go, I hate it when that happens. No, they're going to rush out there and they're going to see what happened, and they find the man sitting in his right mind. Has anybody ever told you you're a crazy? You're not in your right mind? The only way to have a right mind is to have the Spirit of God in us. Amen. But you know what happened? They did a very, very contemporary, very modern thing. When they saw this man was healed, instead of rejoicing, they were not only afraid, but they wanted to let Jesus say, get out of here, because they valued the pigs more than that man. They were telling Jesus, we've lost a lot of pigs today. You've screwed us and our economy is going south because of what you did. Nobody ever said, God, the power of God is experienced here because this man is whole. All they cared about was their pigs, their possessions. And that's what in the culture we live in today, amen? People value things over people. It's so sad. Because the heart and soul of who God is who we are as people. He doesn't put his soul into things. And advertising does that. Advertising is so powerful, it pulls you in. Buick, something to believe in. You thought it was a car. No, they are giving you spiritual qualities in products to make sure that people buy whatever product they're selling. That if you buy this car, buy whatever, you have joy, you have peace, you have fellowship. I'm dating myself here, but I love that. One of my favorite commercials growing up in the 70s, you see men sitting around a campfire. The guy holds up a can of beer, says, you know what, guys? It doesn't get any better than this. Let it be low and brow. Oh, that's it. That's what brings people together, a can of beer. You know the greatest commercial of all time? You've got people dressed in all colors. They're on a hillside. They're waving, you get all nations of the world. What brings them together? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And what is the source of all of that joy and fellowship? Coke, the real thing. So we have this culture where we experience bombardment of what they want because it's about money. They want us to spend money because the money and the possessions and the things are more important than the people in our lives. And unfortunately, the most important is God. So you've got this story of this man in his right mind, and he's sitting there. And Jesus says, go home and tell your family what's happened. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. He's even deflecting the fact that he has sent the demons out of this man. This man is whole. This man has seen the Lord, and this man has been radically changed. So the application for us today, each day, is okay, God. When I get up in the morning, I can say, Lord, use me for your glory or get out of my life. There's a reason why in the scripture that the old early church was called the Way. I heard a speaker one time say, well, it's called the Way, so either you got to get in the way or you got to get out of the way. And so for us every day, that's our challenge. God, use me. We are the hands and feet of Christ. There are so many people that every single person knows that's hurting, that's lost, that's confused, that's messed up in some way, because we're all messed up, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The burden I live with every day is I have two sons that don't know God. But you know what? Instead of going, oh, I failed as a father, oh, what's wrong with me? Now I'm making it about me. It's not about me. It's about God. It's like, God, give me an opportunity to plant a seed, because I'm not a fruit inspector. I'm a seed planter. And that's the challenge that we have every day. Every person that we come in contact with in our life, we can say, God, help me plant a seed. Help me give a note of encouragement. Help me do something. No matter, it doesn't have to be on a big scale, but it has to be something where you don't look at yourself and say, God, good, you put somebody in my life. You love this person more than I can ever know. Let me show that to them in whatever way it is. And this story demonstrates the power of God, not just the miracle of God and of Jesus because he healed this man, but it was the transformation that took place in his life afterwards. That's what Christ did with us. We're demon-possessed. We've got sin inside us. Nobody is righteous. No, not one, the scripture says. But because of the blood of Christ, because we have encountered Christ in a very personal and real way, we are made whole. We are clean. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. You guys know that. I'm a mess, but you know what? I'm God's mess. And I'd rather be a mess for God than a mess on my own or a mess for nobody, because now it's not just a mess. I'm lost. So my challenge to you today with this scripture is think of the demons in our own lives, but think of the way in the spiritual warfare we face every day where we have opportunities to be used by God and we miss those opportunities. And there are a lot of reasons why. Most of it is selfishness. I miss so many opportunities. And I'm like, God, I blew it again today. But God doesn't say, you know what, Clayton, that's it. I've had it with you. Get out of my life. I don't love you anymore. That's not the God that we read about in the scripture. God is the God of mercy. He's the God of compassion. He's the God of forgiveness. And because he is long-suffering in us, he gives us grace and grace. There's a song that says, my sin was great, but his grace was greater. That's the hope and the joy that we live at. That's the hope that this man experienced because he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And my prayer today is for every minute of our lives that we can sit here and offer ourselves to God going, God, use me because you love me and you gave me a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify you. Amen.
Thank you, Clayton. It was just last week that we read about the Holy Spirit blowing where the Spirit will, and we've certainly seen that. Clayton wasn't given a lot of advance warning time or prep to do that. And so what a joy it is to be able to hear a good message from Clayton this morning as we prepare ourselves for the week ahead. Now we come into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord the things that weigh upon our hearts, that bring us concerns, but we lift them up to you, knowing and trusting that we have a God that not only hears our prayers, but that does indeed answer. So let us go to that God in prayer. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that not only do you hear our prayers, but that you're responding to them and well. In humility and in faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for all of those people who've been affected in the past week with illness. We pray for the individuals who are fighting disease presently as well as their families. We pray especially, O Lord, for the members of this church and the community that are still mourning loved ones, especially as we grow near to another holiday. These can be difficult times. Be with us who mourn, providing a strong assurance that our loved ones are safe with you, Father God. We pray for all of the people on the prayer list, including Norm Thompson, James Harper, Paige Vinson, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith. We pray for baby Ezra as he prepares for eye surgery, and just ask that that be a successful one, Father God. We continue our prayers for all the wildfire victims in California and all the hurricane victims in North Carolina. And everybody else that's related to our intercessory prayer list. We make all of these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. As we come to the close of our service, I just ask you to consider Clayton's message. How are we today going to experience and participate in the dangerous grace that Jesus Christ is out there in the world doing? How are we going to get in the way of somebody who is lost and show them the good news that Jesus Christ does love them? Friends, we make all this in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. In Christ's name, amen.
is in.